This is Radio Influence.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here. It's here.
That flavor.
Welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. This is Ian Beckles. It's been a very eventful week, a very chilly eventful week. Don't know where you guys live. I live here in the sunny Tampa, Florida. It is sunny. It is not warm. You will not hear me complaining about the weather because I know better. Being originally from Montreal, Canada, the Great White North, I know what severe weather is. And as far as cold goes, this ain't severe. I've seen severe where you missed a week's worth of school. So nobody's going to be missing any school here in the Bay Area when it's 35 or 40 degrees. It's chilly for these people. I understand that your skin is softened and thinned out. And you know what? My skin's thinned out a little bit, but I just catch myself from complaining when I'm looking at the rest of the country and I see people in Baltimore where... you know, they have a mains break and it looks like deluge out there on their streets. You're seeing people's cars that are halfway, ice goes halfway up their cars. I wouldn't think that'd be any good for your car. The frostbite advisory, you know, I've been in minus 40 degrees. And that's not really what people are supposed to be living in. Anybody of any color, any ethnicity, I don't care. Nobody wants to be in minus 40 degrees. I mean, nobody. So we have a bomb cyclone with a solar vortex chaser. And all the meteorologists out there are walking around with meteorologist boners. Paul Delgado and who else we got? Dave Osterberg and even Lee Spann and Leslie Lacey have meteorologist boners. So they're happy because now they can bring up all these terms like bomb cyclone and solar vortex, which I've never heard of, and we may never hear of them again. But obviously Florida's not equipped for this type of weather. In general, this is the coldest, it's been the coldest New Year's in 100 years. 100 years is a long time now. And for people that don't believe in global warming, I don't know what I believe in. All I know is weather is buck wild. That's all I know. If that's what global warming means, then that's what we're in the midst of. Because weather is not normal right now. It's just not. When you're seeing iguanas freezing and falling out of trees, iguanas falling out of trees because they're frozen, that means something's messed up with the earth. Okay? I think an iguana is a pretty resilient animal. And the last thing I want is for the iguana, a frozen iguana, to fall on me. Now, looking at some of those videos of Tallahassee, and pretty much that city shut down, they got probably a half inch of snow. I wouldn't think it has anything to do with lack of productivity or the fact that they can't go from point A to point B. I just think when it snows in Tallahassee, nobody wants to go to damn work. Everybody wants to make a snowball, and like one snowball, there was enough snow. I saw somebody make a snowman that was, I think it was about 3 inches tall. It was a nice snowman, though, for a Floridian. You know, Floridians aren't known for their snowman making, if you know what I mean. But enjoy the weather while you can. I'm trying to do what I can to enjoy this weather, because right around the corner, I remember Gasparilla, which is right around the corner, sometimes Gasparilla is hot as hell. Sometimes it's cold. And that's right around the corner. So, you know, watch what you ask for, because the second, you know, you ask for hot weather, you're going to be here complaining. And it's, believe me, it's right around the corner. Now, I'm going to talk a little pop culture that's been going on out here. I've been talking about Harvey Weinstein and all this sexual allegations. And Matt Lauer, I would say, unequivocally, is the biggest name who has surfaced. The biggest name of a star. Well, I mean, Bill Cosby's probably a bigger name, but he's not active. And Harvey Weinstein's not really in the game. He is kind of. But Matt Lauer is in the midst of his game, making, you know, not many people are making more than Matt Lauer. And Matt Lauer got popped, and I'm not sure Matt Lauer gets another job. Not like that, anyways. Matt Lauer, by the way, was making $25 million. $25 million. I guess Hoda, who I don't know from Adam, I don't know. I know what she looks like. I know she does a show with that bitch face Kathy Lee. I can't stand her. But she got the job, and she's getting $7 million to do the same job. Now, I love to watch TMZ, and TMZ approached Hoda, and they said, what do you think about getting $18 million less, you know, than Matt? And she turned around and looked at the camera, and I don't think she ever thought about it at the time. But if you really think about it, you have a cameraman that's probably making 10 bucks an hour telling somebody that they should be ashamed of making $7 million a year. Is Hoda Matt Lauer? Nope. Is she ever going to be Matt Lauer? Probably not. Well, there's your answer right there. I believe in equal pay, but you have to be the equivalent. Hoda's not the equivalent of Matt Lauer. She doesn't deserve $25 million. Down the way, probably. Not right now. Matt Lauer put it in. I think they've worked the same amount of years, but Matt Lauer been the man for a long, long time. So, you know, congratulations to Hoda. She's making $7 million for that show. She's probably making another $7 or $5 million for the other show with Kathy Lee. So I wouldn't worry about Hoda. I think Hoda's going to be, she's going to be okay. Now, I don't watch a lot of television. I watch a little bit. I like to watch a lot of old shows. I am absolutely positively hooked on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I can't stop watching it. I hope there's not like 100 episodes. I don't know how many I've seen, but I'm not going to stop watching until I see them all because I miss that whole, I don't know where it was on TV before, Spike or whatever, but I missed that whole wave, and I caught the wave 10 years late, but that is a funny-ass show. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. If you guys want to see something funny, right now they're on Viceland. I want to say somebody said they were on Spike way back in the day. But you want to see a funny show, it's that one. And the girl in the show, and I can't remember her name, Caitlin or something like that, she's also on The Mick, which is also one of my favorite shows going on there on television. So I don't watch a lot of television, but if I do watch it, I want it to make me laugh. Now, this is something that happened on television that I didn't see, but it did come up in the news. I like to watch Jeopardy. I actually tape Jeopardy. I tape it, so anytime I'm trying to enlighten myself and learn a little something, I can go back, and you can always watch an old Jeopardy. It's not a dated thing. And last week, there was a guy on Jeopardy, and the question had something to do with Coolio and from a movie. I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but the answer to the question was Gangsta Paradise. Everybody remember the song, Gangsta Paradise. It was a remake, and it was a good song for Coolio. So there was this Caucasian man up there. We'll call him Poindexter. I mean, dude was nerdy as hell, okay? Caucasian dude should have had, like, a pencil case in his pocket. He was nerdy. So he blurts out, Gangster Paradise. Do you know that Alex Trebek gave it to him? Then they came back and took the points away. It was 1,600 points, I believe. And so they actually take off 3,200 points from his score. So, Gangsta Paradise is not the same as Gangster Paradise. I hate to disagree, but I disagree. When was the last time you hear white people saying gangsta? Now, the only other word that pertains, white people are not allowed to say. So there's no other really situation where I can compare it to. But a nerdy white guy, I don't want him to say Gangsta Paradise. I want him to say Gangster Paradise like he's supposed to. And this young man ended up winning. If he had lost, there had to have been a lawsuit for that one. Gangster Paradise and Gangsta Paradise to me are the exact same things. I hope they're the same things to you too. I hope. Because I don't know many people that speak both ways. Either you speak one way or the other. And you don't flip-flop. Now, to me, one of the more beautiful women in Hollywood and in music, for me, was Carrie Underwood. It still is. I haven't seen Carrie Underwood in a while. I remember, like, when I'm looking at it, is it Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football when I have that, are you ready for some football? And she comes out, and she's got the best legs around, and she's immaculately gorgeous. Carrie Underwood. She was on Idol and Country Singer. I don't care for her music. I don't know any music she's ever done. All I know is Carrie Underwood is fine. Then I hear she has an accident in her house, and I look for details, and they really don't have a whole lot of details on what happened to her. But I guess she got 40 to 50 stitches in the face and broke her wrist. So whatever she did it violently. And if you think of the stress of a gorgeous young girl who falls, and whatever happens, if you need 40 or 50 stitches in your face, I'll tell you what, there's going to be lots of blood and lots of crying. When you're as beautiful as Carrie Underwood, and you put 50 stitches in my big ugly face, and there's going to be a big difference. And Carrie Underwood's coming out and saying, look, I don't look the same. But that being said, go back and look at a picture of Carrie Underwood. I'm talking about immaculate, not a blemish on her face anywhere, nowhere. So I don't know if it's a vanity, thing, or she just messed her face up. I hope for her own sake, seriously. I've never heard anything bad about Carrie Underwood either way. But for her own sake, I hope she looks the same. Because to come out that damn beautiful, she can't handle a scar on her face. I can handle a scar on my face. I would actually wear a scar well, I think. Not that I want one. I'm good. But for a young lady like that, that has these close-ups all the time, that's got to be a tough situation for 40 stitches, 40 to 50 stitches on her face. Now, I don't know if you guys are lottery players or you guys play lottery, but I grew up with a mother who loved the lottery. Mother won the lottery one time, won $5,000. That was the best Christmas I've ever had. And both lotteries right now are over $400 million for the first time ever. Both lotteries. And the one is Powerball. The other one, I don't know what the hell it is, but there's two big lotteries. And I went and played one of them yesterday. And I'm going to have the big drawing tonight. And if you don't hear In the Trenches and Flavor in the Year next week, because I won. Because I'll just go away. I'll go bye-bye, and that'll be it. And they say if the pot is up to 400 or 500 million, and this is one of the highest it's ever been, they literally say your chances of winning a lot of money diminish. And it makes sense. When it's 500 million, millions and millions and millions and millions of people play. And when it's 50 million, a bunch of people play. So not many people win the 50 million. Every time it's 500 million, it's usually five people win or something like that. You end up splitting it, and you don't end up making as much money. So it lured me in, that's for sure. So I'm playing the lottery, and what's so beautiful about the lottery is every single person that buys the lottery every single week thinks they're going to win every single week. It's odd, isn't it? The odds are minuscule. What I mean minuscule? You have a better odds of stepping outside your house and a pink elephant falling on you than you winning the lottery. But everybody thinks they're going to win the lottery. So good luck to everybody out there, kind of, but not really. Now, I brought up Harvey Weinstein earlier, and they had a cut this week of Paul Sorvino, who everybody remembers from The Sopranos, Paulie. I guess his daughter, Mira Sorvino, who I remember the name, pretty girl, I guess said no to Harvey Weinstein back in the day, and Harvey Weinstein blacklisted her. And they can go back to the time, and they can literally say, yes, Harvey Weinstein blacklisted this girl and screwed her in Hollywood. And they had an interview with Paul Sorvino. And basically, Paul Sorvino says, if I ever see the damn guy, I'm going to kill him. I get it, Paul. And I don't hold it against you. When it comes to your daughters and somebody who's just going to mistreat your daughter like that and strong-arm your daughter, screw them. To me, they shouldn't have rights. And the fact that Harvey Weinstein and his wealthy ass is still flying around in private jets and jumping in and out of limos and eating big scrimps and going to all these expensive restaurants. Screw him. If I'm Paul Sorvino, I want to go cut his damn legs off, among other things. But the fact that Harvey Weinstein's going to get through this and be unscathed, I think is disgusting. I mean, they still have some names coming up, but it sure doesn't look like anything's really going to happen to this guy. And if they goes to court, what's going to happen? You're not going to smear his name. His name is couldn't be smeared anymore. If they go to court, it's going to cost him a little bit of money, which he has. You're going to hear a couple more stories, but it's to the point now where I don't want anybody else to come forward and say they were mistreated by Harvey Weinstein. How many do you need? He's got enough. You know, jump on some other people because Harvey Weinstein's his reputation is already done. But they came out and a lot of people were dogging Meryl Streep. And if you look, I guess Meryl Streep did a lot of Harvey Weinstein movies. And I guess they're really close. And a lot of people were saying that basically Meryl Streep knew what was going on. I believe she did. If all of Hollywood knew what was going on, there's no way Meryl Streep was in that many Harvey Weinstein movies and didn't know what was going on. And she had to have known. But instead of taking the high road and talking about the victims, Meryl Streep came out. And I'm a Meryl Streep fan as far as her movies go. I'm not a fan of her politics because the timing's awful. And basically Meryl Streep came out and said, we need to ask Melania and Ivanka about Donald. Timing's bad. It's a good question, but the timing is still bad. I'm not a Donald Trump fan by any means. But when somebody's busting out one of your people, don't call somebody else out. The world doesn't work like that. If you get caught cheating, don't say, well, John cheats more than me. That doesn't help your situation. So I don't think Meryl Streep helped anything in that situation. I was a big Meryl Streep fan. I'm not quite sure about that anymore. Now, here's a story that tripped me out a little bit. I'm watching the news, and, you know, we've all talked about the way I had Jack Gordon on my show from Manny and Gordon yesterday when I was filling in for Mike Calta. And if you ask a lawyer if white people and black people are treated differently, if they say no, then get another lawyer. Because the way I talk to lawyers, they say basically, you have to try a white person different than a black person. Why? You have to ask them. The world, you know, made these rules. There was 60 or 70 people in Atlanta, Georgia, and they were young kids. They weren't young. I think they were college-age kids. And they were in a big party. And they were mostly black kids. And there was a complaint about the party. The cops roll up in there. Now, the cops arrested almost 70 students because they found less than an ounce of weed. Now, when you hear stories like that, in my mind, I'm thinking, the cops have too much power. The cops have too much. No, there's good cops, there's bad cops, there's dirty cops, there's excellent, there's all the above. But when you arrest 70 people because somebody found less than an ounce of weed, then it becomes personal, doesn't it? It has to be personal because 70 people can't smoke less than an ounce of weed. You know what I'm saying? And what happened probably, I wasn't there, but the cops walked in. Maybe some of the brothers were belligerent. But at the end of the day, when you arrest 70 people and you pull out one sack of weed that's less than an ounce, that's hard for me to stomach. And unfortunately, statistically, and they had some statistics in Atlanta, blacks are 5 times more likely to be charged with a marijuana infraction. 5 times more likely to be charged with a marijuana infraction for the same infraction. And 3 times more likely to be arrested. So people would say, well, it's belly aching, but if that's the case, to get charged 5 times more for something, especially when you're a minority, and there's a lot of black people in Atlanta, but they're still the minority. There's got to be some things that have to change. And I don't know what we're going to change. That's the thing. I'm not quite sure what's going to jump out and get changed just like that. Because obviously life's not that easy. Now, this week, I like to dabble in social media. If anybody wants to follow me on Facebook and Twitter's my main source, Instagram, all at Ian Beckles. I did a little bait tweet this week. Somebody gave me a present. They bought me a Donald Trump hat. Now, it was somebody who listens to The Bone, so it was a joke gift. Because, for God's sakes, I'm not walking around wearing a Donald Trump hat. I'm just not gonna. Why? If you're asking why, not sure where you live. But I'm not gonna walk around wearing a Donald Trump hat. So it was a joke. It was a gag gift. So I looked at that hat, and I'm thinking, I'm gonna test something out. So what I did was I just tweeted out, got a late Christmas present from a fan. And I took a picture of the Donald Trump hat, and that's all I did. Boy, oh boy. It's amazing what people will deduce from a tweet. Some people were like, but the thing is, a lot of people were just reacting. They didn't react, because I didn't say either way. I didn't sway either way. Some people were like, burn it. A lot of people were burn it. A lot of people. There was memes of Jim Carrey throwing up in his mouth. Some people said sweet. Some people say awesome hat. And then people started to get a little personal with it. But it's amazing what Donald Trump is doing, you know, not just to our country, to our world. I really believe that Donald Trump is changing our world. And I'm not going to say it's for the better. I can't say that. I'm sorry. With the tweets that he comes up with, when the other countries are watching, and they have to be watching, we watch what they do for the most part. Everybody watches what the United States does. The tweets that he comes up with, it just makes us look more petty than we really are. The whole Kim Jong-un thing, it's two guys with little penises fighting. That's what it sounds like. I have a penis, mine's bigger, mine's better, and mine works. You could have put penis in for nuclear bomb. You could have, okay? But it seems like it's two dudes with little penises that neither one of them wants to show the penis. But in the meantime, as citizens, we may be the ones that catch it, unfortunately. And the tweets are crazy. The feel is crazy. There's books coming up with this guy, Wolf, that said, basically, in a nutshell, the White House is in turmoil. That's what he said. If you're not watching, well, you have to know that the White House is in turmoil because everybody that started out is gone. So if you have something that's a rotating door like that, there has to be turmoil. There's turmoil in the White House. You have to see that. Now, Donald Trump hasn't changed one iota. I don't know why people keep on being shocked about these little things. But when you're calling a tyrant Little Rocket Man, I mean, he's a tyrant. And when you're calling him Little Rocket Man, I mean, that's just poking little powerful people in the chest. That's all it's doing. And I don't know why. Because, you know, Kim Jong-un is a fake bully. He's a fake bully. But why are you messing with him, though? I don't even understand why. You know, I understand that I guess you can't show weakness. And the people that are Donald Trump supporters, they'll say, well, we can't let them do whatever they can do. I agree with that. But there's ways to do things. And whatever the ways to do things, whoever's our next president is going to be able to do any damn thing and nobody's going to be shocked. Our next president could have a bowel movement on the steps of the White House and nobody be shocked because it's just not going to be as extreme as what Donald Trump seems to be doing out here. It's crazy. And if you don't have concerns about his mental illness, I think you got to check yourself because when you're under a microscope like that and you know that everybody's hanging on every word that you tweet and you still tweet what you're tweeting, that's a sign of, I mean, he's crazy. Like, when I mean crazy, I mean he's legitimately crazy. And off-centered. Because what I'm seeing is, it looks like Saturday Night Live skit. That's what it looks like. All of it. Every last bit of it. And if something happens and Trump ends up going to trial, how good is that going to be? I mean, how rich is Alec Baldwin going to get if Trump goes to trial? I mean, how much ammunition is he going to have? Seriously. And listen, they came out with all the statistics. And I know a lot of people don't like statistics, but, oh, screw you. Trump has made 1,950 false and misleading claims, a.k.a. lies, in 347 days. And what comes out of his mouth, they say, if he talks about 100 things, 16 of them are going to be true. So 16% of what comes through Donald Trump's mouth is true. So if you're an educated person, and I hope you're an educated person since you're listening to my podcast, I like to believe there's some intelligence to it, maybe a little bit. Why would you believe him at that point? Why would you believe what Donald Trump says if only 16% of it is true? Seriously, just think of those numbers. If he says 10 words, man, only two of them are real good words, and the rest of it, he's just lying. And to be threatening, really, war via Twitter, I'm pretty sure that's not the way it's supposed to go. And then, and the other things that are going on right now. Mueller, obviously, everybody knows he's here to investigate the Russia situation. Now, they wanted to get an investigator to investigate the investigator who's investigating Donald Trump. Is that stupid or what? Okay, if a cop pulls me over, everybody tells me that I should respect and believe these cops, that they mean good. So if that's the case, our president is telling us that the FBI is corrupt. The FBI is the most important law enforcement agency in the United States, at least, if not the world. So when my president, and he's my president, when my president tells me that the FBI is corrupt, okay, Department of Justice is corrupt, who isn't corrupt? He's corrupt. Well, who isn't corrupt? Where do we go? And everybody should have known at the beginning when they put Mueller in there that that wasn't going to work. It's not going to work. And it seems like Donald Trump is hugged up with some of these dictators now. I don't know when we became hugged up with Russia. I missed that whole episode. I do. Because when I'm hearing him talk about the FBI, it's like the FBI is our enemy. And, you know, the Department of Justice is our enemy. And Hillary Clinton's our enemy. And Barack Obama is our enemy. Those are all Americans, man. And you talk about Russia, you talk about, you know, about his boy Putin, and that's my ace, man. That's my guy. Pretty much. He doesn't say it like that, but he sure looks that way. He never speaks out against Russia. Never. And when he's saying no collusion, and sometimes he says it like umpteen times, I don't believe there's collusion because, you know, this guy Wolf basically said it's money laundering. That's what it is. And when Wolf says Trump didn't want to win, I believe that too. I don't believe that Melania Trump ever wanted to be in the White House. I don't believe his kid ever wanted to go through that crap. I think that Donald Trump would start messing around with some stuff that was going to rearrange some of his money from Russia and influence, you know, the election a little bit. And lo and behold, I think Russia says, nope, we're gonna put you in office. Here you go. Now we got you dingling like a puppet, like a marionette. And when this is all said and done, how often do we say Watergate? We say Watergate every year, it seems like. There's going to be a name for this one. I don't know what it's going to be called, but before this is all over, I think Trump's going to get his name on a bunch of stuff, including a war. He's going to put his name on a war. He's going to take Obama's name off of everything. And it's going to be a period of time where we're not going to forget it. We're really not. Because there's some things happening right now that will never happen again, never happened before. And every time I watch different shows, the people who defend Donald Trump, their argument is Donald Trump doesn't do anything like any other president has ever done. I don't know if that's an excuse. I don't. I mean, there's got to be a template. And Donald Trump never, ever looks upon a template. He just does what he feels, does what he pleases, and doesn't really give a crap the ramifications, and that's pretty obvious. But anybody that thinks that that White House isn't in turmoil, you're crazy. Just look around. And I don't know why these people go out of their way to write these books and slam somebody when we're hearing the stories all the way through and always making excuses and excuses and excuses. There's people within the White House right now that are calling him morons, and they're still there. Imagine people that head out. They're going to call him a moron. And Donald Trump's not a moron, but I think he's moronic when it comes to politics. I don't think he's a moron. He's not. I don't think he's a dumb person. I don't think he's as smart as everybody else thinks. I don't think he's as good a business person as everybody else thinks. I really don't. Give me Mark Cuban all day long. You can have Donald Trump, I'll take Mark Cuban. Or anybody else other than Donald Trump, really, to be honest with you right now. Anyway, this has been wonderful. My other podcast, which is getting wonderful numbers as well in the trenches, is going to continue because football season doesn't go anywhere. There's plenty of other football going on, which I watch all of. During the offseason, there's always, free agent tryouts and combines and different things. So we're going to continue our In the Trenches, and this is Flavor of the Year. We're going to continue to do this as well. I'm really enjoying this. Actually, we have a new sponsor, Hess Smidl, for In the Trenches. So we're going to definitely bust that out here pretty soon. And I appreciate you guys listening every single week because it's a good way to get this off my chest. I'm on the bone every day, or actually Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. if you want to listen, if you're up that early. On Saturday, my show Flavor with Ray Lampe is from 1 to 3. This week we'll be at the Backyard Company in Atomo. And on Sunday, my show is 11 to 1. That's Ian Beckel's show. We're going to be doing that in studio. So if you want to hear my voice a little more than just these podcasts, tune in to 102.5 The Bone. Or else I love talking to you people. Have a wonderful week. And please be warm. Stay warm somehow. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put your flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here is that flavor in your ear, flavor bringing that flavor.
This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
Who's easier to teach a new system to? A veteran from another system, this is pertaining in the NFL, or a rookie from college going into the NFL? And it does depend upon the quarterback. Now, some veteran quarterbacks can easily convert terminology into something that he already knows, just called differently. Intelligence is the most important quality for a quarterback, along with accuracy, because a quarterback first has to know where to go with the ball, and then he has to get it there accurately. Okay, that's why the best quarterbacks are good at what they do. Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know the ones. Some of them may not have the best physical gifts that you've seen, but they're good at knowing where to go with the football, getting it out on time accurately. You know, you can see certain quarterbacks that come into the league. A Boomer Esiason was a very accurate quarterback. It was a quick study. Donovan McNabb struggled a little bit. He wasn't as accurate. So I think those are some things to keep in mind in terms of the rookie quarterback can come in. If he's played under center, if he knows how to read defenses going back, well, then he's going to have a better chance of having success than somebody who's going to have to learn from playing out of the shotgun. It doesn't mean that they can't do it. It just means that their background is such that they're going to have to learn some different things. If you can learn, and here's the way I always look at it and explain it. If you've got somebody that knows how, that's good working with their hands, somebody that might be a good carpenter, might be good at, fixing things around the house, plumbing or what have you, they probably are the type of people that can learn electrical work. Even though they may know nothing about it, they can learn it. They have natural transferable skills to do plumbing stuff and electrical stuff. They may be better at one thing than the other because they may have been spend more time on it, but they are good at it. Somebody like me that it just can't do anything like that, it doesn't really matter. I'm not good at any of it. So if a player has transferable skills, great capacity and willingness to learn, you can teach them different systems and styles. If their production is based only on their system and they do not have the transferable skills, that's where you're going to get in trouble. That's where a quarterback is likely going to fail. And then if you do a bad job of teaching and developing them, it's going to be another issue.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.